there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
Hey everybody, it is Joe Gatto here with another episode of Two Cool Moms. Steve, unfortunately, is on the road touring this weekend, and we haven't been able to get together. So I'm going back into the vault to some of our original conversations when we were trying to figure out what our podcast was going to be. We have a couple fun conversations that I want to share with the world, so that's what this episode will be. And I heard flack when we did this last time about how we didn't answer any questions, so at the end, I'll come back and answer a couple questions. You're going to hear a weird transition sound in between the conversations. I just put like a little soundbitey thing in there because it didn't make sense because we're jumping around conversations and it wasn't fluid. So at one part we're talking about, something when we were little, and then the next part we're talking about driving, and it just didn't sound right without some sort of thing to let you know that, hey, we've switched topics. So enjoy, have fun listening. Thanks so much for listening. And here is episode 35 of Two Cool Moms.
I have a funny Mark Wahlberg story too, actually.
You do? Mine wasn't funny, so this will be funnier.
They were filming Daddy's, what's the one he did with Will Ferrell?
Daddy's Home?
Daddy's Home. Yep. Daddy's Home 2, the second one. Mm-hmm. So they're filming it. Chris Henchy, who's the director of our movie.
Sure. He directed that?
Yeah, he was directing. He was on it. So he invites me to the set to come up, and he's producing it.
I wrote a film that's a little more depressed. It's called Daddy's Leaving.
Oh.
It never got picked up. It was very sad.
Is it a comedy?
No.
Should rewrite it.
I should just leave this podcast. Sorry.
So I'm at Daddy's Home.
Yeah.
2, the sequel.
You're visiting.
I'm visiting.
Yep.
Sir Day. And it's up in, I think it was like the Boston area or wherever. So I go, and yep, on set there is, it's legends there, right? It's Will.
Yeah.
It's Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
Lithgow.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because
Mel Gibson?
And Mel Gibson.
Wow. You came on a good day.
I'm just sitting there.
Holy shit.
It's the scene in the movie where, I don't know if you saw it, but the four of them are talking about getting the Airbnb.
Okay.
And they're all sitting around in the house. And so I sit down and I'm just watching, and they're coming by one, and I'm at Video Village.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all stopping by, and here they come one by one. Hello, hello. You know, Will was amazing. Got to talk to him for a minute, and actually got to hang out with him on our movie. He made a cameo in that too.
That's right, yeah.
Which was fantastic. But Mel was there, and it was just. It was just to hear him talk and the way that he spoke and just the presence he has is unbelievable.
You always hear just nothing but the nicest things about that guy. I know that all that stuff happened or whatever. Yeah. You know, I equate it to, look, who hasn't said some off-color things when you've been drinking?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm certainly guilty of that. But I've heard nothing but very sweet and kind things about that guy.
It was great. And then Lithgow came down and he was great. And then...
So, now, he's an asshole.
Yeah, what a jerk. What a jerk. Yeah. Oh, Lithgow. So we're just there. And at the end, I'm leaving. And kids in the... They take a big picture out front with like the whole cast and crew or whatever. And then I'm leaving. And some... couple kids recognize me. They're like, oh, Joe, can I get a picture? And I say, yeah. And I take a picture with like three or four kids. And the next day in the paper, Henchy sends me the paper. Mm-hmm. And they ran the picture of me with the kids. And it says, Daddy's Home 2 filming in our area. It was like the local crime.
Really?
Or whatever. And it says, and on the thing, it says, star Joe Gatto visited the set. And there's I saw the picture be taken with like Will Ferrell, with like all of them, with like the neighbor.
Because
they bought somebody's house. They borrowed somebody's house.
Sure, yeah.
So I was like, I saw the picture it should have been. And then it's just me and like three kids like giving a thumbs up. It's so funny. Yeah.
Well, obviously a huge Joker's fan.
Yeah.
More so than the other four. I'll tell you, Mel Gibson... You know, when that whole debacle occurred, he had a film come out that I think is one of the greatest films I've ever seen in my life. And it got buried because it was coming out right around Apocalypto. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen it, no.
It is literally one of the greatest films I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, really?
It's so good. The epic scope of it all, the relatability to it. And it's literally about a guy that gets separated from his wife and kid. And he's got to get back and rescue them.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. And he's going to be killed. He's literally going to be killed. The whole film takes place in one day. And every time I hear Daniel Powder's I Had a Bad Day, I always wanted to cut a music video to that movie. Because it's absolutely mind-blowing how
now,
good that film is.
I want you, like when you watch movies, you put yourself in them.
Yeah.
I want you to be honest.
Yeah.
You have a family. You have a wife and children.
Yes.
Lovely group of people.
Yeah.
If they are in a live or die situation and you have 24 hours to save them.
Yeah.
What do you think their chances are?
Slim to none. I mean, I'll get distracted. Well, don't
be a comic here. I want you to be a father and a husband. Okay. And I want you to know, like, this, you got to start at least 50%, right? Because you love them. They're your life. They're your world.
Yeah.
So you got to be at least give them a 50% chance. You're going to fight your ass off, although it might not be, it might be for naught. And those kids will have no future. We both know this, but let's pretend.
Right. Okay.
Right. It's starting at 50.
What are the circumstances?
Okay. I don't know off the top of my head. You didn't return a video in 1989 to Blockbuster.
And it was owned by the mob.
It was owned by the mafia. You owe late fees.
Government got involved. Okay.
The government, you know, they owe late fees. They want their money. You can't afford to pay them. They're going to break your legs. And you say, you know what? I'm just going to go on the run. You and your family, you relocate to Nashville from Los Angeles. You're living in Nashville for a couple of years. Then you go to the local
Do you have a blowhole in the back?
you go to local Walmart.
How are you breathing?
You go to local Walmart. You're picking up a new board game for your daughter's birthday. And then you accidentally bump elbows with Jimmy Elbows. And it's like, oh, shit, it's Jimmy Elbows. We got to get out of here. You run. They follow you to your house. They kick in the door. Steal your family. They say you have 24 hours to give them that $39.99. And they leave. So off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, I would say that if I had to chase them down and hunt them down, anything like do with money, I'm sure it would be a money like demand that I don't have even close to it.
Right.
So
let's say it's you owe them $2 million and they need it by midnight. Okay.
Right. This is what I know exactly what would trip me up. And I'd show up 2 minutes too late. I'd be there 12:02 and I know why, because I'd be like, fuck, I am hungry. I got to eat. I can't do this on an empty stomach. And I would go and sit down and have some sushi or like a deep dish. Mm-hmm. Then you get a little lethargic. You're like, let me just like shake this off. I got to kind of like
gassy. Yeah.
Let me just lay down and pull the seat back for a minute and just kind of like nod off for a minute. And then I'd come back up. Oh, shit. I got to get my kids. I got to get my wife. Mm-hmm. And that's what would bump me up.
Right.
I know a meal would be the distraction.
Yeah.
A meal would be the thing. How about you? What is yours?
No, I mean, the movie Taken would be called Took. Like, I would not. Like, they're Took. My daughter's gone. She's gone forever. Come see Joe Gatto in Took. Like, my daughter's Took. She's gone. That girl, she's on the boat. She's on her way with the Prince of Saudi Arabia, wherever he was.
It's just you holding a picture going, I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss her.
Through the years. I will say this. I probably would. I'm pretty good at escape rooms. So I would have good.
It's so good, dude. You're good at escape rooms?
I'm pretty good at escape rooms. So I think I would be able to deduce where they were. But then I would need help. Like, if it came down to like having to take them down, I can't.
Right.
I can't do anything. Like
that. My wife always tell me what the speed limit is.
Ah,
that's what she does. You know, the speed limit is 55.
I gotcha.
I'm like, you know, you could look up a divorce attorney right now.
Are you fast? Or are you furious?
I wouldn't say I'm like.
Are you an angry driver, or do you just drive too fast?
I'm an impatient driver. I hate when people waste my time.
Did you like driving in the city in Manhattan?
I loved it.
So did you have a car when you lived here?
I had a Saturn.
Ooh, frugal. So, my God, I can't believe you had a Saturn.
I had a Saturn. Did you really?
I did. I had a turquoise Saturn.
I had a red Saturn with the third door.
You had the three-door Saturn?
And I had the fucking sunroof.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You were fancy.
Not frugal.
Fancy frugal.
Fancy frugal. So listen to this. When I lived on 12th and 1st Street, I parked my car outside the apartment building, okay? And the snow, it snowed horribly. A plow came and took the whole front end off my Saturn. The plow just came.
It caught the corner of it?
And just went, kept going. And I literally heard it crunch. I look outside. I'm like, motherfucker. And I saw it just sitting on the
shit
right in the front. Fucking bummer.
Yeah. So then you threw it out. Because you can't fix
Saturn. I had to throw out the Saturn, yeah. My angel lost his wings that day.
Yeah, shame. Red.
Damn shame. You had a turquoise?
I had a turquoise. So my dad had a guy, and my mom needed a car.
Okay.
And I had just got my thing, and my dad was like, my dad worked in insurance, and he had this guy that bought out leases from people that couldn't pay them, like kind of repoed a lease or whatever.
Right.
And my dad would go see him. His name was Frank, and he lived in Jersey. And so my dad was like, come with me. I gotta
get
you.
This sounds legit.
It clearly wasn't. He goes, I gotta get your mom a car. Come with me. So we went, and she wanted a white Saturn. So we had the white Saturn there. And Frank goes, what about your boy here? And my father was like, no, you know, we don't need one right now. He's using my old one. He's like, come on. I got this turquoise one I can't get rid of.
Oh, yay.
It was brand new. He threw it in.
Yeah.
So I got the turquoise Saturn. But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
I drove that beautiful beast all the way right to the local Pep Boys. And I went to the magnetic decal section. And I picked myself up the Looney Tunes gift pack. And I had an 18-inch Bugs
Bunny.
Wait,
how old are you? How old
college.
Are you? You were in college?
We were in college.
Are you serious? College.
I slap on a magnetic.
I'm going to Pep Boys and not getting laid.
I got it. Bang. Right on the
what
side.
What did you put on it?
A Bugs Bunny on one side, a Wile E. Coyote on the back, and it said beep, beep. Like there was like a little thing. So the two sides, one side had a Bugs Bunny, one had a Roadrunner, and it said Wile E. Coyote, my two favorite characters. And then it said beep, beep.
That is fucking hilarious.
Isn't that crazy? I can't believe we both owned Saturns.
We both had Saturns, yeah. Well, my first car was a Nissan Pulsar. Do you remember this car?
Oh, yeah.
It was cool.
You put a nickel in the back, pulled it back, and it went.
You had to pull the cord. But I worked for a month, a whole summer at the Hampton Inn, which was this Irish pub in Pittsburgh off of Route 8. And it was known because they had 108 sandwich combinations. Mm. So you would sit in the kitchen, and they had them all up on the thing, and you'd have to make these 108 sandwiches. So I worked there day and night, night and day for a whole summer, saved up all my money before my junior year of college, mm-hmm. and bought this Pulsar. Dude, it had the T-tops. It had...
You're a lot on... You like things that happen above you.
I like looking at the heavens.
Yep, I like to see the heavens.
And saying, why? What have I done wrong to you? I tried my best. And I had a black bra that sat on the front of the Nissan Pulsar.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I was in college, for some reason, I bought a TV antenna, and I glued it to in between the T-top things where they come off because I thought it would make my car look like the Millennium Falcon. It's like, what the fuck?
You're making fun of my Bugs Bunny and magnets.
I can't say anything, but that it looked
How
shitty.
Did you attach it?
It looked shitty. I got like this suction cup thing.
Got it.
And like glued it and fastened it to it. And it was like this little dish that I was like, this is the, why? What I... so stupid. But your first car was the turquoise Saturn.
No. My first car, I had a couple cars. My dad had an old Buick that he gave me and it died on the road. My mother was like, it's not safe. Get your son a car. And that's why I ended up with turquoise Saturn.
Got it.
But I fell in a bunch of different like leases and whatnot. And I had a Pontiac Grand Am. And I moved when I moved to LA, I got shipped over on the truck. It shows up and my lease expired when I was out there. I was like, I need a new one. So I go to get a new lease for my car and I go to a Pontiac Cadillac dealer. And I pull in accidentally, the kid is with me, Justin's with me.
Yeah.
Our friend Justin Gerace. I pull into the wrong lot by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled into the used lot.
Right.
And I said, I'm gonna return his car. And he goes, oh, you getting a new one? I said, yeah, I'm gonna lease a new car. And the guy didn't know leases. And he was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, I could show you because he wanted the sale. I was like, okay, sure.
Right.
So we're walking around and I see a Cadillac CTS. And I go, oh, this is nice. And he goes, yeah. He said, okay. He goes, well, how much do you want to spend? I said, well, my current, you know, I don't want to go over my current $299 a month or whatever. Oh, no, it was $399. I said, I want to go over my $349. I want to go over $349 a month. I remember this specifically. I don't want to go over $349 a month. And he's like, all right. He's like, oh, he's like, you know what? I could probably get you in this car for $349 a month, not knowing that he can't. And I was okay.
Yeah.
So he goes in and he goes back. He comes back. The manager's like, what are you talking about? You can't get it. So you're not even supposed to be doing new cars, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, well, I can. And they got this huge fight back and forth about it. And the guy comes out and he goes, oh, he's like, you know what? I can't get less than $429. He said, no, that's not $349. It's all right. I'll go someplace else. He goes, no, man, no. I told you I'm going to get you this car for $349. He went back, got a huge blowout with the manager, and I got a brand new Cadillac CTS for $349 a month.
Shut the fuck up. Are
hysterical.
You serious?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I pulled into the wrong lot.
Holy shit.
Isn't that crazy? And I got the brand new Cadillac. That I ended up taking that back to New York. I did my cross-country drive in that.
And that's the first time you met Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
That is an amazing story. He just comes through
that's
at every
it.
Step
all
of the way.
All the time. Yeah.
So you got a brand like
brand new Cadillac CTS.
Because you went into the wrong lot.
That's it.
That's fucking awesome.
So if I could give any advice to our listeners.
Yeah, that's right. just drive onto the Porsche lot with your Ford Fiesta and miracles will happen.
That's it.
Yeah.
Make sure it's a used lot and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Wow, holy cow.
Isn't that crazy?
And were you working retail in so Nordstrom's retail?
Yep.
But New York always retail.
No, New York was always corporate.
Corporate.
And
wow.
Then when I left to LA, that's when I jumped into retail. And when I came back, I was out of the corporate game and I went into retail here in New York. And I turned that retail into corporate because I became a training program manager and I jumped to the corporate side. So my worlds collided.
I think it's got to be tougher for you to leave the corporate world to go into entertainment. Because like if you're waiting tables or if you're in retail, like folding khakis or whatever, it's so easy to just go, fuck this place. But to go into corporate, you're signing a contract. You have benefits.
Yeah.
I think
401k.
It's a lot harder.
I dumped
to leave,
my 401k
right?
at, how old was I? I was 26 years old, I guess. I emptied it and I was like, I'm going to LA.
Holy shit, yeah. Really?
Lived off the fat of the K. And I
went, that
I was like,
at the K.
I was like, I'm going there. Yeah, I went there. And then, I knew it was a gamble. And I was like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to try it. And I'm glad I did. But on paper, like, I failed and came home, which is so funny. Like, we talk about that all the time. And I'm like, you know, I didn't have to do that. I could have stayed here and had my 401k.
But I'll tell you what I think is absolutely hilarious about Phoenix is any other city you go to, well, I'd say 80% of the cities you go to in the States, right? You go and there's like the club area where anybody under the age of 30 is going to drink, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have like a nice steakhouse and like a wine bar and that's it. You go to Phoenix, the steakhouses out there are like nightclubs for 50, 60, and 75-year-olds. Everybody's trying to get laid, but they all look older. They don't look as cool. They're still trying to do the. It's like a sadder version of everything downtown. Yeah. But uptown, it's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my mom used to go to this place called Bistro. It's not in Staten Island anymore. But there was a huge market for basically widow and widowers. That would they'd be like, do like a nightclubby kind of weird thing where after the restaurant was over, because the girls would go out with their girlfriends.
Sure.
And the guys would go out with their guys, you know, and everybody. And then after, it would just get really weird. So I remember this one time I had gotten locked out of my house and I had to borrow and get my mom's keys. So I had to go meet her at Bistro. And I walked in.
She got the pearls on.
It was gross. Yeah. It was so weird to walk in there, and I was like, oh, this is basically, my mom's like at a nightclub right now. She was talking to this, you know, half a gangster from Staten Island in the corner, and I walked over, and I'm like, hi, mommy, I live in your, meanwhile, I'm 30 years old at this point. I'm like, hey, mommy, can I have the keys to the house, because I live in your basement, right? And when I walked in, I couldn't find her right away, so then all these older women saw a younger guy come in.
Oh, shit.
So half of them thought, like, oh, this guy. And then other ones are like, the Cougars. Like,
hey, are you that guy that just drove up in the turquoise Saturn with the Looney Tunes on the side? You're fucking hot.
At this point, it was a Galaxy TS that I got for $349 a month, okay? I was making moves.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was really weird to see that. But that became like a whole culture in Staten Island where like the older folk became into like the nightclub scene was restaurants post 11 p.m.
That's right.
They would bring a DJ in.
Right, yeah.
They bring, and he would just hit like the old, like he played the Bee Gees like soundtrack, you know, whatever. He'd just play anything.
Here goes some Wham for Linda.
Who's celebrating a birthday? Who knows how many have left? Like, yeah, that was a really weird scene.
It's weird, but it's kind of cool to see that, you know, you still got it.
Yeah.
You see some guys, you still got it. I'm telling you, man, I went to the steakhouse with a friend of mine, and we were there, and we were having some drinks, and then all of a sudden,
and you went home alone.
I went home alone.
Your friend didn't.
Furiously masturbating. But there were a few, like women you see, like, oh, my God. Like, I mean, I know she's older, but, like looks stunning. And
yeah. And the men are like buttoned up, like, you know, the men, you know, they got their suits on and stuff. It's crazy.
No, some of the guys.
Right.
They're a little,
there's two types there, right?
There's two types. There's two.
There's a guy who got dressed up.
And looks like a gentleman.
Exactly.
And then you got the guy that looks like, did you just come from figure skating? Like, what the fuck ensemble is this? Collar up. It's pink. It's a blue shirt. There's studs on it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Anytime I see like a 50-year-old in those fashionable jeans, I'm like, buddy.
Tough. I'm almost there. At that, I'm 45 and I still wear a low rise.
You wear a low rise?
No, skinny jean. I can't wear a low rise. I can't get a low rise around this.
Well, I'm 47, so I'm not.
Yeah,
you know,
but you've got something way different than I do because you don't even look like you're anything near that.
What are you talking about? You look great.
I know, but I don't look young.
You don't look old. We both. I'm sure we could all go online right now on our Facebook and find people we went to high school with. You're like, oh my. Oh, what happened to you? Like, have you been stressed for 40? Like, what happened? Stop smoking. Like, what are you doing? I've seen some people on Facebook. I'm like,
do you feel old?
Here's the thing.
Well, you still play ice hockey. We talked about this earlier, and I can't believe you still do that. You've been playing since you're six. You played last night.
I played last night.
That's a hell of a run. 6-47. That's, hold on a second. You're not good at math. That's 41 years.
41 years. Yeah, that's
so you've been playing 41 years of ice hockey.
I love it. It's a great release. It's so fun.
Right, but you just think about that. You're 47 years old. You lace up and you move your body at full speed on the ice for periods at a time.
Full speed.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what kind of discipline and cardiovascular activity that requires? I get winded when I go to get like a snack from the fridge.
But don't you have like an outlet that, like, hockey for me is like the one place where I don't have to worry about, I got to write this, I got to take care of my daughter's thing, I got to make sure Jess is cool with it. You know, just like, it's like all of a sudden you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an outlet for you where you're just stress free and?
No. I'm always stressed. I'm always never free.
I tell you, when this comes, you got to rewind. You got to rewind that part and make it black and white and just see you, like, process the question and then answer it. Because I watched you, and it literally looked like something was welling up right here, and you were so, that's the most honest I've ever seen.
No. I think when I'm with my with the canines, when I'm with my dogs,
that you're unwinding.
Yes, that and playing with my kids, I think does the same kind of thing. So,
but dogs number one.
Dogs are definitely number one. They outnumber the children. That's why they outnumber the children, and they're always in a good mood. You know, my kids are fighting about something, the dogs aren't.
Yeah.
But I think those kind of states where you're playing like carefree with the dogs, with the kids, or whatever, and just not even thinking about it, you can't help but be present. Like. My daughter said to me, it was like a couple days ago, she was like, she asked me to play something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she likes the game Guess Who. It's that, you know, you get a card, there's a bunch of little faces, and you have to ask each other yes or no questions. Does your guy have blonde hair? And they say yes, and that means everybody without blonde hair gets knocked down. And by process of elimination, you pick who has the card.
I play with my daughter all the time.
Okay, so then why didn't you give me any indication that you knew what it was?
Well, because when we play, she goes, no, seriously, who? I go, I am your father. I just travel a lot, but I am. I swear to God, no, who?
Hi, Uncle Steve.
Yeah.
True story. My daughter told me that she loved when I come to visit.
What?
2 weeks before the pandemic, my daughter gave me a big hug when I came home. She's like, Daddy, I love when you come to visit. I was like, wow, I'm doing something wrong.
God.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, that was nuts. That was a real eye-opener. So she wanted to play Guess Who, and I was doing something. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to play Guess Who. And I stopped and I played Guess Who. And we had such a good time. And I was like, I need to do that more.
Yeah.
It's hard because when you work from home or like when you're home, you're always working. You're always thinking about stuff to do.
Sure,
and
yeah.
And then next thing you know, like the little kid wants to play with you. And then you have to make a decision. Like, am I going to be that dad that was unavailable to make a memory?
Right.
And or am I going to be the guy that is like making a TikTok for the world?
yeah, exactly. Best Christmas I ever had. I wanted Ram Man from He-Man bad. Do you remember Ram Man?
I remember the day mine broke.
Oh, you do? Yeah, you had to squash him down and you push the button on the back and he shot up.
I remember my button broke, yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was the greatest thing and I got that. And then the next year, I got the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier that was 6 feet long. And I played with that till I was fucking 13.
That's so great.
Got made fun of for all the time, but I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, my mom and dad were, you know, we grew up a little bit broke. And my parents were big in the off-brand Kmart stuff. So you had the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. I know exactly what it was. And it was like, it was the gray one.
Fight
the,
Force.
Right? And I got Fight Squads. And it was like shit brown.
Yeah.
It was like brown. And like you had to put the stickers on yourself. Like it was one of those. And like all it did was the back hinge opened. And you could put stuff in it. But it didn't, it didn't come with anything. So and my parents didn't realize that. So I got an empty aircraft carrier that the hinge came down. No, they thought it came, like it was on the box, you know, there's like all the guys, like this and all that. And nothing. I got an empty shit brown aircraft carrier.
So goddamn
carrier.
Funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what sucks about toys these days? Because I'm sure as a father you bought this. What's with the screw?
Yeah.
Can I just put the fucking batteries in the thing? Now I got to get the... And
whose kid is to unscrew... Who's eating batteries? That kid doesn't deserve to be around.
No.
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 It's
no.
Darwinism.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. He didn't fucking deserve it. It's one less person that's going to hold up the line.
Oh, I'm sorry. How'd your son go? D battery.
D. Yeah, he's a real dipshit. Those are the big ones. Also, when you get a toy now, it's these clear strings that What the fuck? Let me open it.
It's always around Barbie's, like around the neck, ankle. Yeah. Head. It's like 47. I'm like, who? How bad is someone trying to steal this Barbie?
Yeah.
Who is someone trying to steal this thing? If they got to, if they got to go through all that trouble, they could have it.
Exactly. Fuck it. I don't even want it anymore.
So annoying. Yeah. I the unpackaging of everything is the worst.
Unpackaging of toys, and this is the thing too. For Christmas, anybody, this is going to come out. My daughter's not going to see this shit. Got to get a hoverboard, right? So I get this goddamn hoverboard. Mm-hmm. And what I learn is that for you to use the hoverboard, you got to charge it 24 hours before you can use it. Now, what's going to happen? She's going to open the thing on Christmas. I want to use it, right? But so what I'm doing now is I'm going to take it, open it, take it out, charge it, then put it back in the box. Smart. And now she's ready to fucking rock
and roll.
You
have to do that.
You have to do that. And these are things you wouldn't know. But why does something have to charge for 24 hours?
Yeah. I remember one year, my big...
Why don't you fucking charge the battery, right? Charge the batteries and then put in the
fucking
box.
Even give me half. Give me a half so they get to roll around a little.
Give me a taste.
I know, that's it. I don't care. I don't even care if it's blinking. I know I only have 5 minutes left.
That's right, yeah.
Stupid. But I will say this. One year, one of my big gifts was a bicycle.
Very nice.
You might know BMX. I got a KMX. I got a KMX bike, right?
Yeah.
And that year, full-blown blizzard. For like 5 days, you couldn't even go outside. So I just had this bike inside my house.
Oh, shit.
Inside
really?
My house for like taunting me for 5 days.
No.
My KMX, right? I take it outside to ride it the first time. Chain pops off, swear to God. No. Chain pops right off. I didn't know how to fix that. I had to wait for my dad to get home from work.
Yeah.
He had to take out one of the link was too long. He had to do the whole thing. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, but that like those are the worst when you have like an outdoor toy for Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. You get a football or something. Yeah. It's like, it's too fucking cold out. Yeah. Blizzard out. Well, are you looking forward to Christmas, though?
Yeah, I like Christmas.
Of all the holidays, is it the best for your family? Or is there something, what supersedes Christmas?
For a long time, it's been New Year's Eve.
Really?
Because we all just get together and do a big sleepover. I've always enjoyed that really well, which is fun.
Do the kids like that more than Christmas, though?
Well, my kids are young, so they kind of... They're kind of getting in, you know, they're 6 and 4, so they're getting into the whole getting gifts and whatnot, but they love playing with their cousins too. And they're young, their cousins are older, so they love playing with little kids and that. So it's like kind of fun that they're
All together.
Yeah, all together.
Yeah, you get them all together.
So that's kind of fun. And then it's just a time that personally for me, that you get to unplug and not have to deal with anything. So there you go. Now I'm going to get into the questions because, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, we're supposed to answer questions. So I'm going to take some here. Hopefully Steve will agree with my advice, and if not, I guess I'll hear it from him after. Chris says, how do I get my question answered if you don't read it? Well, that's a waste, Chris. I just read it. I guess ask your question in the same time that you submit, will you read my question? Sorry, Chris. You had a moment of greatness there, and you squandered it. Much love to you, though, buddy. Thanks for listening. Hey, mommies, when you have a new skill, this is from Travis. Hey, mommies, when you have a new skill you want to learn without a deadline, what sort of things you do to motivate yourself? When it comes to your job duties, I go above and beyond, but struggle to find the motivation to learn a new skill, even though deep down I never stop thinking about accomplishing it. Love you both. Enjoyed seeing your taping in Franklin, Steve. Be well. Steve Burns comedy, The Last Late Night. Taping, which was great. Well, thank you, Travis, for being a fan. Appreciate you. Let's see. I'm not good at staying motivated with hobbies. Like, I want to learn. Like, it took me a while to really dive in and learn photography, and I still haven't done as much as I want to with it. But it's always been like a fun hobby for me, and I just never really did it. I have like a lot of undone Lego, like around my house. Like, I have boxes of Legos that I'm like, oh, I'll get that, and I'll do it, and I just don't do it. So I don't know if I'm the best person to answer this for you. I will say one thing that does help with it is that remember, if it's something that you do want to do and you want to learn, a lot of it that gets in your way is time, right? So you have to start the process. You have to start spending time to do that, and I think that helps. Because once, like, for instance, if I want to start, if I know I want to do something and I keep trying to do it, and the hardest part is to start. It's not to keep doing it, if that makes any sense. So don't start. I'm not good at this without Steve.
this feels wrong. This feels like one cool mom. But I'm answering. I'm trying my best here. So what I would say, Travis, is just make an effort to start your hobby, making time to start doing it. And then hopefully the enjoyment of that will carry you through. Okay? I think that made sense. If not, Steve's going to be so mad at me. Okay, Ian asks, hey guys, love the show. My brother is getting married early next year and I am unable to go to the wedding. He has invited my biological father, who we as a family haven't spoke to for 30 years, nor do we have any want to talk to him. How can I support my mom, brother, and stepdad when I can't be there? My mom is particularly unhappy about it, and it's her first son's wedding. Cheers. Okay, well, here's the thing, Ian. Hard pill to swallow for everybody. It's not your guy's wedding. It's not your guy's decision. It's your brother's. Okay? So what you're doing here is putting... You're taking the importance of your relationship with your brother and putting it on the back burner at a person who you've decided has no more... You have no interest in putting them in your life. So what you're doing there is... I would just recommend a rethink. I would recommend rethinking. Don't make the day about your estranged biological father that you give no shits about. Make it about your brother who you're celebrating that has found love and wants somebody in his life. So I think, buddy, you maybe need to think about it a little bit more. I think you need to think about what's important here, and what's important here is the support for your brother. You're going to miss out on one of the biggest days of his life because you don't like a guest that will be there that he's entitled to invite. It's his wedding. It's not your call. The only call you have is to not be there. And obviously that doesn't feel right to you. And so I would just rethink it. I'm not saying you should go, but I would just say this is going to be a decision that you're going to be living with, you know? So think about it and try to remember that you're there for your brother. You want to be there to hug your brother when he is now has his wife, and you want to be there for your mom to celebrate with your mom and, you know, and watch your brother be happy. So I think you should probably not give the, don't give the importance to that stranger, that man. Give the importance to the person in your life who's your brother. Now, see, that was a good one. Steve's going to be proud of me on that one. That was good advice. Ian, you got some good advice there. So I think I'm going to stop there then. Yeah, that feels good. So much love to you guys. Of course, thank you so much for everybody who's been coming out on the road, seeing us. Me and Steve appreciate you guys. You know, so make sure you check out our socials. Links are in the description on our YouTube page. Please subscribe. And much love to y'all. So thanks so much for watching me.
These two cool mommies love you. So show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.